I don't know if you enjoy it the way I do, but I surely like to be with the Lord's people.
This is a foretaste of heaven. Those folks out there in California and in New York and in Boston, with all their wild behavior, nothing like this. Calm, quiet, cool, collected in the presence of the Lord. As I often say, this, beloved, is the highest society in the universe. Children of the living God. There's no higher society. So don't strive to get into society. What they call society is zero. We're already in the best. Now what we want to do this afternoon, this noon, is to complete our study of the subject, no compromise. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Book of Genesis, chapter 13. We might start at verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. He was wealthy. The land was not able to bear them, that is, Lot and Abram, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. And the worst thing we as believers can do is to start fighting among each other. And the world will look on and say, I don't want that. I remember years ago in New York City, there was a lovely couple in the meeting. They had a misunderstanding, and they took the misunderstanding out into the street, and there all the neighbors said, Look at two Christians fighting. Let's dwell together in harmony. We be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt, and this was the beginning of his problem. Chapter 19, please. Verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What does that mean? The gate of Sodom, without going in to tell to details, let me tell you, this was equivalent to being on Wall Street. He had gotten up in the world. My. Lot, seeing them, rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servants. What? House. Now, if you will look back, you will find that Abraham dwelt in a tent. Why did Abraham live in a tent? Didn't he have money? They both had money. But he chose to be a pilgrim and a stranger. He was not fixed to the earth. He was not dwelling in the earth. He was looking to a heavenly home. Verse 14. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters and said, Up, get you out of this place, the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that was joking. That's my translation. To his sons-in-law. A Christian settled in the world, compromising the world, has no positive effect on those around. And this is one reason why many of our relatives are not saved. Because we are too much like the world. And when we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, well, that's a joke. You don't live it. But we read on. Verse 36. Verse 33. They made their father drink wine that night. You would think the father would tell them don't drink wine. But this man has compromised. He's living in Sodom. He has his business there. And he's a big man in Sodom. But nowhere in the eyes of God. They made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He perceived it not. My, my, my. What a state to be in. A believer's in the world and doesn't even know what's going on in the world. Beloved, don't compromise. Verse 34, it came to pass on the morrow that the first daughter said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesterday night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. They made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he didn't know what was happening. Oh, terrible. Verse 36, Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And he didn't know a thing. Now let me ask you a question, beloved, from all that we have read. Where do you conclude Lot's going to be? In heaven or hell? Where do you think he's going to be? And you wouldn't know until you turn to the New Testament, and behold, Lot is a believer. He's going to be in heaven. You say, a man that behaved like this? Going to be in heaven? Yes. He compromised. And when we compromise, we do the same thing as Lot. We lose that which God has for us. We'll be there. But that which he had for us, someone else will get. He was a believer. Now the next character that we want to look at that compromised, we've already considered in the Sunday school, so I'm not going to talk about him. All that Brother George told us in the Sunday school, just take all of that and put in your notes at this place, and that's, you know, I could stop here. That's about it. But we'll go a little further. Daniel chapter 1. We want to consider some believers who didn't compromise. Daniel chapter. Now, I know you know it. I know you know all about Daniel. But, beloved, you can never read the word of the Lord too many times. I told you about the brother in New York that came to New York and spoke on John 3:16 for 2 weeks straight every night and never repeated a message. Can you do it? Until you can do that, you don't know John 3:16. And so as we read the word of God over and over, he always reveals something to us. Daniel chapter 1, verse 6. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. I'm not going to compromise. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now you know the rest of the story. Now come over to verse 17. Here are four young men that didn't compromise. Let's read about them. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. God gave them wisdom in all knowledge and understanding. Question, does God do that today? Does God help believers when they're in school? We read on. 18, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
The four smartest in the bunch. They honored God. Oh, you say that was in the olden days. You know, way back there. Reminds me of that second daughter. She was quite small, and she said to me, Daddy, what did you all do in the olden days?
And you may tell me this was in the olden days that God helped people in school. Does he help them in school today?
Sure he does. Now, I've told you this before. I'm going to repeat it. In New York City, there were two sisters in the meeting going to nursing school. And they were taunted and haunted and pestered. They didn't dance and they didn't drink and they didn't smoke. And when graduation day came, what do you think happened? They won all the prizes between the two of them. They honored God. In this day, they are alive today. One's in Washington, one is in Detroit. There's another one in California. And my wife dealt very much with her. Oh, she was so discouraged. They laugh at me. I don't do this. I don't do the other. And my wife would just encourage her. Encourage. Keep at it. Keep praying. Keep at it. Don't give up. Graduation day, I was there. 14 prizes were given out. This young sister won 13. Today, not ancient days. And if you honor God today, he'll honor you. On the job, in school, in the home, wherever. No compromise. Daniel chapter 3. No compromise. Now you know the story, so I'm not going to read the whole chapter, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar was quite a fellow. This man Hussein out there in Iraq considers himself another Nebuchadnezzar. I wish he would learn what Nebuchadnezzar learned. It would be a great help to him and his people and to the world. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us. But if not, oh, I like this. Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods. No compromise. And you know the rest of the story. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't budge, and they wouldn't burn. They stood up for the Lord. And in your circumstances, beloved, at school, at work, there are always those who are against you, pointing the finger at you. Stand up for Jesus. Don't be afraid. He'll bring you through.
Acts chapter 7. Some who did not compromise. Verse 22, Moses. What do we read? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in word and deed. Do you know the Egyptians were smart people? We still don't know how they built the pyramids. And when it comes to embalming, we still don't know how they embalmed bodies so that today they looked as they did originally. We still don't know how they were able to produce colors that remain today as they were originally. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And there are, those of you who have been to high school, you studied algebra. The Egyptians were the originators, I am told, of algebra. And Moses was learned in all their wisdom. So he knew algebra. He was quite a fellow, wasn't he? Well, let's see about him. Hebrews, please. Chapter 11. This man that was learned in all the wisdom. Hebrews chapter 11. Learned in all the wisdom. A smart fellow on his way to be ruler of Egypt. He was the Pharaoh's son. He was well on his way up. Reminds me of something that Brother George and I often discuss. William Kelly. Brilliant man he was, especially when it came to Greek and the translation of the Bible from Greek into English. One day somebody said to Mr. Kelly, "Mr. Kelly, with all that you know, you could get somewhere in the world." And Mr. Kelly said, "Which world? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to get somewhere?" And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he was on the way to being ruler of Egypt. That's a big job. It's a nice job. Have all these people wait on you and you give all these orders. That's what he was in line for. Verse 24, choosing rather to serve affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. No compromise. But then you know there were some who compromised. As I said, our brother called attention. Let's look at just one who compromised. And most of us will be amazed at who we're going to read about. Do you know that the Apostle Paul compromised and got in trouble? As all compromisers do. Where do we read that? Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Verse 17. When we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. But we could stop the subject and just talk about that. Wherever you go and you're among the Lord's people, you are received gladly. You're at home. You don't have to make any special adjustments. and they were received gladly. Verse 18, the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs.
Now, Paul never said that, but we read on.
What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together. They will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Take them and purify thyself with them.
Purify himself from what? He hadn't done anything. He only told the truth.
And be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself walkest orderly and keepest the law. Verse 26, then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification.
He compromised. When you go home, read the rest. Why, his life was almost taken. He compromised. And where we find compromise, we find that believers get into trouble. There's an old saying concerning compromise. If you let a man sit on your shoulder, it won't be a long time before he'll sit on your head. Compromise. Don't let him get there in the first place. There is another saying to the effect. A certain man said, wherever I find a seat to sit in, I'll also find a bed. And the one that I like best of all, you all know it, about the camel and his master. You remember that fable? It's a beautiful one. Out in the desert, very hot in the daytime, and very cold at night. Nighttime came, and the master set up his tent. And the master got into the tent and left the camel outside. And then the camel put his forelegs into the tent. Said, master, just let me rest myself a bit. It's cold out here. The master didn't say a thing. And next thing you know, he put his head and shoulders in. Now, you know the rest of the story, right? He put his whole self in, and when the master looked at him, he said to the master, there isn't enough room for both of us. You better get out. That's compromise. And whenever we compromise, we're going to find that to be true. There is a tree that we see in Florida and in the Caribbean. It's called the banyan tree. And whenever I'm in those areas, I like to look at the banyan tree. It's a large tree with roots extending down, and a very menacing looking tree. And with these roots that extend down, robbers and thieves often hide themselves and attack passersby. But you know something? You can't have a banyan tree unless you have a palm tree. And there's that beautiful palm tree. Many of those in Florida, you've seen them. Many in the Caribbean, you've seen them. Beautiful palm trees, tall and stately. And a little seed from the banyan tree just rests in one of the branches. I won't do you any harm. Just let me stay here and rest. And then that seed begins to take on nourishment from the banyan, from the palm tree. And it begins to extend its branches out and down. And after a while, there is no palm tree. There's only a banyan tree. I wonder why.
compromise. And that's exactly what compromise will do. You have the same thing with what we call the strangler fig tree. I remember seeing one of these close up. The same thing happens. The strangler fig tree gets into the palm tree, and you know how a boa constrictor twists and squeezes you? And you can see the strangler fig tree with its trunk squeezing the palm tree. Compromise. There must be no compromise. I could call some others, you know. The Japanese honeysuckle, same thing. But it would take too long to go into many of those. We've got to be careful of compromise. Read with me, please, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest anyone spoil you or make prey of you through philosophy and vain deceit. And I like the Weymouth translation. You know how Weymouth translates it? High sounding nonsense. And that's what it is. All these men talking and talking. It's interesting, you know, the words that they use. And you'll be deceived. And one of the greatest areas in which this deception is practiced is in the area of psychology. Young folks, beware of psychology. Now, it is known in science that the more theories you have about something, the less knowledge you have. You see? One and one make two. That's not theory, that's fact. There are, at least in the United States, among psychologists, 22 different theories. Where does that put psychology? I have a relative in New York, and she was preparing to study medicine, pre-med. And I would always ask her, how is the budding doctor coming along? And the last time I saw her, she said, I'm not studying medicine anymore. What are you studying? I'm studying psychology. Oh, my heart fell down. Psychology. For one thing, they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe God. And you have to be careful of their language. Otherwise, you'll be talking against God, Christ, the Bible, and everything holy. When you study psychology. And as for that other one, evolution. And you know, there's some Christians, it's amazing, it's interesting and amazing what they call themselves. I am a theistic evolutionist. Now, when somebody tells you that, you say, "My, he's all right." No, he isn't. He's all wrong. Theistic means Godward. Evolution means no God. The two don't go together. But there are some believers who want to sound intelligent, educated, and well-informed, and they call themselves theistic evolutionists and impossibility. Just like Christian Science is an impossibility. It is neither Christian nor science. Nothing. And I can talk about Christian Science. I had some relatives. In fact, I've had patients come to me. And when I'm ready to tell them, I tell them what I think is wrong. When I decide
what they should do. Oh, we don't want you to treat us. We just want to know what's wrong so we can have our practitioner pray for us.
I have a cousin. The last time I saw her, her sister was ill with arthritis. She said to me, "When are you doctors going to get a cure for arthritis?" I said, "It's not the doctor's responsibility. When are your practitioners going to pray us out of arthritis?" That's the issue so far as they're concerned. We have to watch. Oh, then there's another group of people. They call themselves progressive creationists. Oh, my. They believe in creation, but they are progressive. They're not backward like us. Just believe the Bible. They go a little further into evolution. Beware of compromise, beloved. One of the happiest days I ever had. Well, thank the Lord, I've had some nice days. My oldest daughter was in college, and I knew what they were teaching her. She was preparing pre-med, because the college she went to was the sister college to the one that I went to. And I knew exactly what they were teaching. But she never said anything. I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord, of baptizing her. She was in fellowship. We had family reading together, prayed together. But she never said anything about evolution. And one day I said to her, "Carol, what do you think of evolution?" And I will never forget her answer. And when she answered, my heart literally jumped. You know what she said? "Daddy, evolution is a lot of nonsense." Was I glad to hear that? She wasn't caught in the net. A lot of nonsense. And that's all it is. One day in the will of the Lord, we're going to talk about some of that nonsense. And you young folks, don't be impressed with these psychologists and these evolutionists and all these other theoretical people. Go buy the book. Then there are some other compromises that are being made. You dear sisters here, stay where God has put you, please. And don't you for one minute believe that the Bible teaches that women are inferior to men. At least it's not in my Bible. But this is what they will tell you. Stay where God has put you. In the place that God has put you. And you'll be the better off for it. The more noble for it all. Then there are those who say that we should be sociable. We should mix. Mix all of these religions, they call them. Compromise. Don't be so hard. Give a little bit. And now we find outstanding believing men compromising with the Roman Catholic Church, and they're both one. That's compromise. That means trouble. Evil habits. Don't compromise. I had a very fine relative up in New York City. Her parents sent her away to college. She too was saved, baptized at in Assembly Fellowship. They invited her to a party one night. And in what she drank was an overdose of morphine. And she died right there. Don't compromise. I think of another fellow. He was a basketball player. Just before we left New York, he was so good as a high school player that they had signed him up with the Boston Celtics. Is that right? Celtics belong to Boston? He too went to a party. And they gave him something to drink, and he died right there. Don't compromise.
Oh, it won't hurt you. Just try it. Don't try it. Take no chances. Evil habits. Time's about up. I think I've gotten the point across, haven't I? Well, now let me read for you. Some of you have heard this before. The evil of compromise. A bear hunter. Brother Jeff knows this one. A bear hunter came upon a bear calmly eating berries. As he took aim, he stepped on a twig. The sound alarmed the bear, who looked up and saw the gun. Stop, said the bear. Oh my. The hunter said, this bear is high up on the evolutionary tree. He can talk. You watch these evolutionists. The bear cried out, why do you want to shoot me? I'm just out to have a meal. Can't we sit down and discuss this thing? Oh my, he's way up on the evolutionary tree. A bear, talking and rational. Being a reasonable, well-educated, civilized man, and also curious about the bear's ability to talk, the hunter accepted the animal's invitation. Sitting down, he told the bear he was hunting because he wanted a fur coat. The bear said all he wanted was a meal. Soon, the bear and the hunter were deep in discussion, trying to find a compromise to solve the problem. And sure enough, they found a compromise. The bear had his meal and the hunter was inside a fur coat. Compromise. It's dangerous, beloved. It's deadly. And may we pray to the Lord to deliver us from that awful enemy called compromise. I'm closing on time this time. This is about the second time I closed on time. All right. And I'm going to ask that we rise and sing together. 595. Onward, Christian soldiers. And before we sing this, I'm reminded of another story. We've all heard of Napoleon, the great Napoleon. One day he was examining his soldiers. And there was one soldier there who was weeping and wailing and shivering. Napoleon looked at him and said, what is your name? And this poor little soldier, my name is Napoleon. Either change your name or change your behavior. Let us behave like children of God. No compromise. Number 595. Let us rise, please. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence. We give thee thanks for who thou art. We give thee thanks for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for salvation. And may it be ours never to compromise, but to stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our gathering here this day, the worship meeting, the Sunday school, and lastly, our coming together here. Grant thy blessing upon each of us. There are those of our number who are not with us. Thou knowest the reason. Grant thy favor upon them. And dismiss us with thy blessing resting upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. No compromise.